So you're staring at your marketing dashboard, right? You just launched a massive campaign for your brand new app, and you were trying to piece together how it actually did.
Oh, the classic nightmare scenario.
Exactly. So you open up Google, and their dashboard claims, you know, they drove 500 installs today. Then you open Meta, and they claim they drove 600.
Right.
And then your organic analytics tool says you got 300 natural downloads. So you add it all up, and the math says you have 1,400 new users.
Sounds like a great day.
Right. But then you look at your actual app database, and well, it only shows 800 new accounts. So, I mean, who is lying to you?
Yeah, it is the most frustrating moment for anyone running growth. And usually, nobody's intentionally lying.
They are.
No, they're all just taking credit for the exact same person. I
Yeah.
mean, if a user sees a Meta ad on Monday and then they click a Google search ad on Wednesday, both of those dashboards will proudly raise their hand and claim 100% of the credit for that one single install.
Wow. And if you can't trust the math, every single dollar you spend from that point on is essentially, well, it's a gamble.
Exactly.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We're looking at a completely comprehensive stack of sources today. We've got advanced course materials on mobile marketing performance, some very dense vendor documentation, and some cutting-edge industry analyses.
Really great stuff in there.
Yeah, really detailed. And our mission today is to give you a shortcut to being well-informed on the invisible referees of the mobile ad world, mobile measurement partners or MMPs.
Yeah, and what we should note right away, this goes so far beyond basic click tracking or, vanity metrics.
Right.
What we are really talking about here is establishing a foundation of absolute truth for every business decision downstream. If your attribution data is corrupted right at the source, your entire machine learning optimization strategy, your budget
Your
allocation,
revenue forecasts.
yeah, your revenue forecasts, they're all just built on sand.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because starting with the very first step in setting up that foundation of truth, before a single piece of creative goes live, you have to choose your referee.
Yes, the MMP.
Right. And looking at our sources, two major players really dominate the conversation, but for entirely different reasons. You have AppsFlyer and you have Branch. And honestly, comparing their market positions feels a bit like comparing a massive global census bureau to like a highly specialized hotel concierge.
That's actually a really good way to put it. Let's build on that Census Bureau idea for AppsFlyer, because they are the undeniable giant in the room. They are tracking over $28 billion in annual ad spend across more than 200,000 apps.
That's a massive footprint.
It's huge. And what that massive footprint gives them is unparalleled deterministic matching power.
Let's pause right there, actually, because deterministic gets thrown around a lot in these docs. What does that actually look like under the hood?
Sure. It basically means making a hard, irrefutable connection using a specific device identifier. Because AppsFlyer has signed official server-to-server integrations with all the major ad networks, they basically act as a neutral clearinghouse.
Okay.
So when an install happens, AppsFlyer checks the device ID against the ad networks. Meta might say, "Hey, we saw this ID." Google says, "Yeah, we saw it too." AppsFlyer has the back-end authority to definitively rule, "Google, you had the final touch, so you get the credit. Meta, stand down."
Which makes sense. I mean, they're the ultimate arbiter, but it also makes me wonder if AppsFlyer's tracking $28 billion and has that kind of definitive authority, why would anyone bother with Branch?
Right.
Because the course materials note that Branch holds, I think, less than 1% of the global attribution market. So why look at the concierge when you can have the entire Census Bureau?
Because the concierge is sometimes the only one who can handle a highly complex edge case.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Branch is legendary for a technology called deep linking. So imagine a user clicks an ad for a specific pair of red sneakers, right? But they don't have the app installed yet. They're routed to the App Store, they download the app, and then they open it. AppsFlyer might just drop them on the generic home screen.
Which is super frustrating as a user.
Exactly. Branch excels at ensuring the user is walked directly to the exact product screen for those specific red sneakers immediately after the install finishes.
Oh, wow. So they preserve the context of the click completely through the download process.
Exactly that. Plus, Branch utilizes something called predictive aggregate measurement, or HAM-PAM. They claim this can actually reduce missing iOS attribution claims by about 40% in certain scenarios.
By modeling the gaps in the data.
Yeah, exactly. But, for a standard travel or e-commerce app that is just heavily pumping budget into Google and Meta, AppsFlyer's sheer scale usually makes it the default choice.
It really is a fundamental question to ask yourself if you're managing budget,
Huh?
who do you want guarding your ad spend? The massive arbiter or the specialized guide?
Right.
But whoever you choose, picking the referee doesn't mean they're actually allowed on the field yet. You have to integrate their SDK, their software development kit, into your app. And this brings us right to the bouncer at the door, which is the OS privacy checkpoint.
Oh, yeah. This is where a simple engineering mistake can, quite literally, quietly cost a company millions of dollars in lost data.
Yeah, the iOS developer docs in our stack highlight a trap that genuinely blew my mind when I read it.
The ATT prompt.
Yes. Apple uses App Tracking Transparency, or ATT. It's that little pop-up that asks if you want to let the app track your activity.
Everyone's seen it.
Right. But to trigger this properly, a developer has to put two lines of code in a very specific sequence. They absolutely must call wait for ATT user authorization before they initiate the MMP with the start command.
Right, and if they flip those two lines.
The documentation is brutal about this. If start fires before the authorization, wait, the MMP sends its very first install ping to the server without the IDFA. That's the identifier for advertisers.
Because it just assumes it doesn't have permission yet.
Exactly. It assumes a no. And even if the user taps allow on the prompt 3 seconds later, the damage is already done. The deterministic match for that user is permanently gone. You can never retroactively apply it.
Which is just wild.
Right.
And when that deterministic match is lost, the MMP is forced to rely on probabilistic attribution for that session.
And I always see probabilistic framed as a sort of dirty word in these marketing forums. What is the system actually doing if it doesn't have the IDFA?
Well, if the system is blinded to the specific device ID, it has to make a really highly educated guess.
Okay.
It looks at the IP address, the device model, the operating system version, and timestamps. So say an ad was clicked on an iPhone 14 Pro on a specific Wi-Fi network at 1.02 p.m. and then an iPhone 14 Pro on that exact same network installs the app at 1.03 p.m.
The system just assumes it's the same person.
Right. It is an educated correlation, but it is definitely not a hard, irrefutable fact.
And considering the global average for people opting into that ATT prompt is only about 35%, you are relying on those probabilistic guesses a lot of the time. Unless, according to the sources, you use a custom pre-prompt.
Yes. The psychology of the pre-prompt is incredibly powerful. The data shows that if you show a custom screen before the jarring Apple system prompt and actually explain why tracking benefits the user.
Like allow tracking to receive personalized local flight deals.
Exactly. Give them value. If you do that, that 35% opt-in rate jumps up to 50 to 65%.
It's just giving them a reason to care before you ask for a favor.
Right.
But, you know, while iOS has the ATT prompt, Android has its own wild storyline. For years, the industry was completely panicking because Google was supposedly going to introduce their privacy sandbox and just kill off the GA, which is their version of the advertising ID.
Yeah, what's fascinating here is the sheer whiplash the industry just went through. Because on October 17th, 2025, Google abruptly canceled the Privacy Sandbox initiative for Android entirely.
They just pulled the plug on the whole deprecation plan.
Completely. The GIA remains fully available. And the fallout from this is staggering when you consider the companies that wasted millions of dollars and thousands of engineering hours building incredibly complex workarounds for a privacy change that, well, it never actually happened.
They ripped out perfectly working infrastructure for nothing.
For absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So right now, Android attribution is, ironically, much more stable and deterministic than iOS.
Wow. Okay, so let's say you've navigated the bouncers. You have the permissions. You have your IDs.
Yeah.
Now you have to actually send this data from your app back to the ad networks so their algorithms know what is actually working. And here's where it gets really interesting, because my first thought reading this was, why not just use UTM links?
Oh, right.
Because I've used UpNum Source Google on web campaigns forever, and it works perfectly.
Yeah, but mobile apps operate in a completely different paradigm than web browsers.
Yeah.
I mean, a mobile app is a closed sandbox. It doesn't have a URL structure. You can just append a standard UTM to and expect a seamless data passback from the app store.
Yeah, the sources are incredibly strict about this. AppsFlyer, for example, requires its own specific parameters for mobile tracking links. Like for a Google campaign, you need PID, Google WordSynt, and you need click-a-clid.
And it is completely case sensitive.
Yes. If a marketer accidentally types a capital P in PID, the MMP might completely fail to parse the network. It just dumps all your expensive paid data into a generic, unattributed bucket.
And your return on ad spend reporting just goes completely dark.
Which is terrifying.
But, you know, the language barrier isn't just about the links that bring users into the app. It's also about how you describe what the user does after they install your event taxonomy.
Yeah, the analogy I came up with while reading this section, it's like traveling to a foreign country and deciding to just invent your own words for hello and thank you.
Yeah.
You're walking around shouting made-up words, and the locals are just completely ignoring you because they have no idea what you're saying.
That is exactly it. And not only are they ignoring you, but you are actively paying for the privilege of shouting in the street. Let's say your developer builds a custom event and names it Booking Started. To a human analyst, that makes perfect sense.
Sure, I know what that means.
Right. But to the machine learning models at Meta or Google, Booking Started means absolutely nothing. Their algorithms are trained on a standardized industry dictionary, something like a purchase.
And there's no error message that pops up saying, hey, we don't understand this word.
No, none. It causes a silent failure in the optimization model. If the ad network doesn't recognize your custom conversion event, if Optimizer just gets confused, it can't find high-intent buyers, so it defaults to CPM delivery cost per mil.
It just optimizes for raw impressions.
Exactly. It starts showing your ad to literally anyone scrolling their feed, silently inflating your acquisition costs while you sit there and wonder why campaign performance is just tanking.
Because the algorithms need a very specific diet of data.
Yes.
And the course materials point out that it's not just using the right standard names either. It's about mapping those events to actual business outcomes.
Yeah, take an event like a foresearch. If a user types something in a search box, the AI doesn't know if that's a valuable signal or just random noise. You have to map it. You have to literally tell the system, hey, our internal data shows users who search for flights within 48 hours of installing convert at 2 to 3 times the baseline rate.
Okay, so giving it context.
Right. Once you attach that outcome, a forge becomes a high value signal. It feeds the ML model exactly what it needs to target users with specific intent.
So, okay, you fed the machine perfectly, the data is flowing, but how you, the human, choose to actually read that data on your dashboard changes the narrative entirely.
Yeah.
The attribution models kind of act like funhouse mirrors.
That's a good way to describe it.
Let's start with the classic, last click attribution. I'll play devil's advocate here because last click makes logical sense to me. If I click a Google ad and then I download the app, well, Google closed the deal. Why shouldn't they get the trophy?
Because that logic completely ignores the assist. Imagine a user sees a highly produced video ad on Meta, right? It sparks their interest. Over the next week, Meta shows them 3 more ads, really building that brand awareness. Finally, the user goes to Google, types in your brand name, clicks a search ad, and installs. Last click gives 100% of the credit to Google.
And Meta gets zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
And if you look at that last click dashboard, you'll say, well, Meta isn't working. Let's cut their budget.
Oh, I see.
And the moment you cut Meta's budget, your Google search conversions will dry up a week later because you just killed the engine that was generating the initial interest.
Mm.
The data shows last click misallocates budget by roughly 40% for this exact reason.
Okay, so naturally, enterprise marketers move to multi-touch attribution to share the credit. And the sources say, what, 78% of enterprises use some form of this? But the catch is, algorithmic multi-touch models are hungry. They require a strict minimum of 600 conversions per month to be statistically reliable. So if you have a lower volume app, a multi-touch model isn't giving you insights. It's honestly just guessing.
Exactly. Which brings us to the most complex mirror of them all. SKAN 4.0, Apple's privacy-preserving attribution framework.
Okay, I need an ELI 5, like, explain, like, I'm 5 on this one.
Right.
Because the way Apple handles this data sounds intentionally infuriating.
Oh, it is.
They won't tell you who installed the app. They just give you anonymous batches of data through 3 asynchronous postbacks spread over 35 days. How does that actually work mechanically?
Well, it's all built around breaking the timestamp correlation.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. If Apple sent you the install data the exact second the user opened the app, you could match that timestamp with the timestamp of the ad click on Meta and figure out exactly who the user is.
Oh, right. Fingerprinting.
Exactly. So to prevent that fingerprinting, Apple uses randomized timers and degrades the data over time.
So what do you actually get in Postback 1 versus the others?
So Postback 1 covers days 0 to 2 after the install. This is the only window where you get what Apple calls fine conversion values.
Fine as in detailed.
Yeah, it's a detailed number from 0 to 63 that can map to specific in-app actions, like reaching level 10 in a game or adding an item to a cart. But for Postbacks 2 and 3, which stretch all the way out to day 35, Apple strips away all that detail. You only get coarse tiers. None. Low, medium, or high.
Wow.
And it gets worse. Every single postback is subjected to a randomized delay of...
Wait, how does pausing a campaign affect anonymity? I don't follow.
Okay, so Apple will only provide those detailed 0 to 63 fine conversion values if a campaign drives a high enough daily volume of installs to basically blend in with a crowd. If you panic and pause, your volume drops. You fall out of the top crowd anonymity tier, and Apple's privacy algorithms step in and just start replacing your conversion data with null values.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, by trying to optimize too fast, you literally blind your own dashboard.
You really have to have nerves of steel. You just have to let it run.
You do.
But you know, here's the darkest part of the deep dive. While you are patiently waiting up to 6 days for your delayed anonymized privacy data to arrive, sophisticated networks are actively trying to rob you. And they aren't stealing credit cards. They're stealing your attribution data.
Yeah. Wherever there are billions of dollars moving automatically through algorithms, fraud will follow. It's inevitable.
The course materials detail two main methods, starting with click injection, which is specifically an Android problem. Mechanically, how does a bot steal credit for an organic install?
It exploits how the Android operating system actually communicates. So fraudsters hide malware inside a seemingly innocent app, like a free flashlight app.
Right. Everyone has one of those.
Yeah. That malware sits quietly and just listens for install broadcasts from the OS. When you naturally decide to download a travel app from the Play Store, the Android OS broadcasts a system message saying, hey, downloading new app. The flashlight malware hears this, and milliseconds before your download finishes, it fires off a fake ad click in the background.
So it tricks the MMP into thinking that fake click is what drove the install?
Exactly.
It's like you're running a marathon, you've done all the training, you're 3 feet from the finish line, and a spectator just sprints out of the crowd, cuts in front of you, crosses the line, and demands the gold medal.
Yes, that is exactly it. And the way you catch them is by looking at the stopwatch. The telltale metric is the CTIT, the click time to install time.
Okay.
Think about it. A legitimate user clicks an ad, reads the store page, waits for the progress bar. It takes minutes. If your MMP shows a CTIT of under 10 seconds, it is physically impossible. It is almost certainly a bot performing click injection.
Okay, so that's the sniper approach. The second method is install flooding. And if click injection is a sniper, install flooding is a shotgun. They just send massive volumes of synthetic fake clicks for a specific device, just hoping that one of those thousands of fake clicks happens to land chronologically right before the user organically installs an app.
Which leaves a completely different statistical footprint. The signal for install flooding isn't a 10-second gap. It's an implausibly long CTIT, often stretching over 24 hours, spread across a massive volume of useless clicks.
Because no legitimate ad network produces that kind of behavior.
Right, none of them do.
So you fight back using tools like AppsFlyer's Protect 360, right? You configure strict validation rules. Block anything under 10 seconds, flag anything over 24 hours. And the results in the case studies we read are wild. Customers report a 66% drop in overall fraud and a 90% drop in post-attribution fraud just by enforcing those time boundaries.
Yeah, and if we connect this to the bigger picture, stopping fraud isn't just about the budget you save from, you know, paying out fake bounties. It goes all the way back to that algorithmic diet we talked about.
Oh, the ML models.
Exactly. Fraud pollutes your machine learning models.
Mm-hmm.
If your ad networks think bots are your highest converting users, their algorithms will start actively optimizing to find and acquire more bots.
Which is just a death spiral.
It really is. Stopping fraud protects the fundamental integrity of your entire growth engine.
So what does this all mean? If you look at the journal we just took, it's incredibly fragile. You have to pick the ultimate referee, choosing between the massive deterministic graph of AppsFlyer or the specialized deep linking of Branch. You have to get that referee past the bouncers by flawlessly coding the iOS ATT prompt while navigating the whiplash of Android keeping the GA.
Yep.
You have to speak the strict, exact language of the algorithms using precise PIDs and standardized taxonomies so they don't default to CPM delivery. You have to balance the delayed funhouse mirrors of scan, resisting the urge to pause campaigns and destroy your crowd anonymity. And finally, you have to monitor the stopwatches to block fraudsters from polluting your ML models.
It's a lot.
It is. Ultimately, getting this infrastructure right is the difference between turning your ad spend into an investment that compounds or literally turning it into a bonfire.
It really requires absolute precision. And, you know, this raises an important question because just as marketers master all of this, the ground is shifting yet again.
Of course it is.
Right now, scan 4.0 is the rigid standard you must build for. But at WWDC 2025, Apple announced Ad Attribution Kit, or AAK, for iOS 18.4, and it promises to fundamentally alter how we handle this data.
How so?
It's offering overlapping re-engagement windows, highly configurable intervals, and they're even injecting country codes directly into the postbacks. So just when the marketing industry finally figured out the scan playbook, Apple is preparing to rewrite it entirely.
Wow.
The question for you, the listener, to mull over is this. Is your data infrastructure flexible enough and your understanding of the underlying mechanics deep enough to survive the next privacy earthquake?
A perfect question to leave things on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep your data clean, trust the mechanics, watch those CTIT metrics, and we will catch you next time.